Anthropinos, which means in a humanly way. I'm thinking, like, humanistic. Not in our modern way we think of humanist. But, I mean, I'm speaking of the most... I'm trying to talk in the most earthly terms that you can understand. So you understand. Do you understand how clear he's trying to be here? He says, look, I'm trying to be... There's no subtlety here. This is as simple as humanly as I can humanly possibly make it. This is the way it is. Being made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Whoever servants you are to obey, etc., etc. It's all very clear, okay? For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. I like that, because it's like, free from sin, free from righteousness. Yeah, when you were servants of sin. See, the thing is, so, well, I did some good things. No. See, righteousness is something that is pure. If you serve sin, see, that's the funny thing is, like, righteousness, how do you put it? It's like that zero, you know? It's like, you know, you can have sugar-free drink, right? But you add a little sugar, it's not sugar-free. Sometimes I get annoyed with analogies because they kind of fall apart. But whatever. Look at this. Righteousness has to be complete and whole. You can't have like sin intruding, because a little sin makes you sinful. And so God doesn't say like, well, you're mostly righteousness, you've just got 1% sin. Like, no, you're still a sinner. But remember also, they're the promises of God in faith when you receive them by faith. He already is looking at you as righteous. And that's why he's going to take you from the place of sin and bring you to the place of righteousness. That is his promise. That is what his grace does. It reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. But now being made free from sin and become the servants of God. To serve God, you got to be free from sin. Fact. Simple. Speaking in the most plain speech that could be imagined. You have your fruit unto holiness. See, the fruit of this is all is holiness. Holiness. What is holy? It means something holy with all these separate things. Like, this is holy. Like, if I have a holy cup, I don't use it for anything except for that one purpose that it's set aside for. The most we think of that, okay, it's the cup we offer our communion in. It's holy. You don't just, you know, you don't take a leak in it, right? That's profane. That's common. That's just, you know, every day. Holy means special. You know, set aside for a particular purpose. So, being free from sin, become a servant of God. Ah, now you have your fruit unto holiness. Now you are separate. You can't call, if you're just a sinner, you can't call yourself holy. I am holy. I am filled with all these holes where the sin gets through. No. It means I am purified, sanctified, set apart. And the end, eternal life. Everlasting life. That's the end. See, it's not the beginning. I believed and I received eternal life. And at that point, I just said, hey, I'm not going to... That's where I stop, right there. Eternal life. Why go any further? You know, you start studying, you get into trouble. You know, you might read the Old Testament, read these laws and lists. I mean, there's a lot of misunderstanding that goes around. But you know what? Those lies commend the righteousness of God. Chapter 3. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, yes. I think that verse has occurred in several times. This is one of the most, I think, the wages of sin is death in several places, but I'm not going to go look it up right now. That means the payment for sin is death. I mean, the wages of sin is death. People have heard that a million times. They think, it's funny, because of the whole chapter, this is the verse they quote. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. All that. See, all you got to do is, see, now I'm going to just totally pervert the words. Like, all you have to do is believe on the finished work of Christ on the cross, receive that redemption, trust in him for your salvation, trust in Christ alone, through grace alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, and basically freeze. That's where your faith should, that's the beginning and ending of your faith, right there. Verse 23. See, it's perverseness because they've taken away the promises of God, the promises of righteousness, because grace reigns through righteousness. Grace is the righteousness that God gives us. It is like the thundering testimony to the grace that God is giving us. I never feel more under grace than when righteousness is just reigning in my life. It is the greatest feeling in the world. The greatest feeling. But I can't, there's nothing better. And I've experienced a lot of good feelings in my time of the carnal pleasures of life. There's nothing better. Nothing more rewarding than that feeling that the grace of Almighty God is shining down on you through righteousness. And you can see it. You can feel it. It's an integral part of your body. It's reigning. The Son of God is alive. And He's sitting on the throne. And you're reigning there with Him. And then we are going to be exalted with Him. And that's from that. I mean, it has to be manifest in this present world. As He said in, as the Apostle Paul iterated in the book of Titus, chapter 2, that, you know, the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. It's right now. And it couldn't have been more clear than the way Paul just stated it in Romans chapter 6.